Okay, today's daf is Erevin daf Samach Zayin. We are holding on the top of daf Samach Zayin and Aleph. We can go over from the top again after we finish up the discussion from yesterday about two chatzeros where somebody in one of the chatzeros forgot to make an Erev. We're going to turn to Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes. Rav Chista was very impressed by Rav Sheshes' Bekiyas and he's going to ask him two questions, both relating to Bittul Rishus, and then the Gemara is going to discuss whether the presence of a non-Jew in a Mavoi has an effect on whether it's mutter to carry in the mavoi, even when the non-Jew has a totally separate entrance that to his home that doesn't lead to the mavoi. Does the non-Jew still cause a problem if he has a separate entrance? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether a large karpef is considered rishus yachron and daraisa level to the extent that a person's chayiv for carrying from it to a rishus rabin. Initially, we think that there's a braisa that contradicts Rabbi Yochanan's opinion on that issue, but then the Gemara has two ways to defend Rabbi Yochanan. And then at the very end of the daf, we begin the very big sugya of a baby who had a bris milah on Shabbos and he needed hot water, and ishtapich chamime, the hot water spilled out on Shabbos. Can you bring water for the baby? And we're going to discuss utilizing the service of a guy to help bring water for the baby. That is a major sugya that brings us into tomorrow's daf be'ezras Hashem. So let's begin Samach Zayin Amud Aleph at the very top. So we were discussing various cases of three cases specifically of Erevin between two different chatzeros where somebody forgot in one of the chatzeros to join in the Erev. So the third of the three cases was Shachach Echad Minachitzon Velo Erev Vadai Pnimis Mutaras, that if one member of the outer chatzer forgot to join in the Erev, so then the people from the inner chatzer are still mutter to carry. It's only the people in the outer chatzer that have a problem. This is talking about a case where you were nasan eruvan bipnimis, where the eruv was actually placed in the inner chatzer. So it was placed in the inner chatzer, and one member of the outer chatzer, and the two chatzers were joining together in a single eruv, but one member of the outer chatzer forgot to join in the eruv. So it's no problem for the people in the inner chatzer; they could view it as their own eruv. But the people in the outer chatzer are going to be aser. So why is it that the people in the inner chatzer are mutter? The achta dasha umishtamsha v'chitzana asura, because let the people in the inner chatzer sort of close the door to the outer chatzer, meaning close themselves off from the outer chatzer, pretend the outer chatzer doesn't exist, and they have the amongst themselves their own eruv and their own location, and no one from the outer chatzer is coming in, so therefore they're totally covered with their eruv. So amalei Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua l'Rava v'chishachach echad min apnimis v'lo yirev amai shtei anasuros. But wait a second, why in the case where one guy from the inner chatzer forgets to join in the eruv is everybody yasser? Liftel bar pnimis l'bnei pnimis v'teisi chitzona v'tishtri ba'adayhu. Why don't we say that one member, that the member who forgot in the inner chatzer could be mevatel rishus to the other members of the inner chatzer, and then everyone should be mutter? People in the inner chatzer are all good because the one who caused the problem was mevatel rishus. People in the outer chatzer are all good; they all joined in the eruv, so everything should be fine. So says Mar Keman Kriblazer Damer Einut Sarach Levatel Rishus Kol Echad Ve'Echad. Yeah, everything is fine if you assume like Rabbi Lazar that when you need to be mevatel rishus, you don't need to be mevatel rishus to every participant in the Erev, to everybody who's in the chatzer. Ki ka'amina l'rabbanon damri tzarech levatel l'kol echad ve'echad. We're talking according to the Rabbanon that you need to be mevatel rishus to everybody. So you can't just have him be mevatel rishus to another party in the inner chatzer and allow that to work for the outer chatzer. You need to be mevatel rishus to everybody, including it would be the people in the outer chatzer. But you can't be mevatel rishus mechatzer l'chatzer. That was the whole discussion from Amud Beis yesterday, and that's why it doesn't work. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. Rav Chisra Rav Sheshes ki pagi ba'de adadi. When Rav Chisra Rav Sheshes would run into each other, whenever they would meet with each other, so Rav Chista miratan sifvase mi masniyasad Rav Sheshes. Rav Chista's lips would shake from Rav Sheshes's bikiyus in the teachings of Tanaim in Brises. Rav Sheshes marta kule gufe mi pilpule de Rav Chista, and Rav Sheshes's entire body would shake from Rav Chista's depth and analysis, his depth of analysis of all the sources. So they were very in awe of each other's areas of expertise, but the Rav Chista apparently was the Bal Pilpul, he was the Oker Harim. Rav Sheshes was apparently the Sinai, he was the big bucky, he was the one that knew a lot of Bryces, knew a lot of different teachings. So a couple of things over here before we get to what the conversation was about. We're going to see that there are two questions that were asked. Rashi says Rav Chista was afraid that Rav Sheshes, who knew all these Mishnayos, would ask him a kasha, a stira between two Mishnayos, and would ask him to be metaritz them. Meaning, knowing that he was the Oker Harim and Rav Sheshes was the Sinai, he knew that Rav Sheshes could always ask a lot of kashas from one Mishnah to the other, and he'd be expected to come up with the answer. That's why he was meratan sefase, that's why he was always worried. But Rabbeinu Chananel sounds like Rav Chista was always afraid that he's going to ask on something he had said from a Mishnah or Brisa. Not that he's going to come and ask a stira between two Mishnahs, that he's always coming and saying chidushim. Rav Chista's constantly saying chidushim. So if the dangerous thing about chidushim is sometimes you could be against enough in a Mishnah or enough in a Brisa. So he was always worried that Rav Sheshes was going to find the source that goes against him. Tosas and Maseches Becharos and Nunbeis writes that Rav Sheshes was a Baal Brisos, and that's why he was afraid of Rav Chista. In the Sefer HaChachmas, Rav Sheshes was a Baki in Brisos. They were so fluent, like the Mishnayis in Befi Chacham Mecherim. That's how Rav Sheshes was in Brisos. Normally, we assume most of the Amoraim, they knew Mishnayis cold. The Mishnayis were the main text of study for all of the Amoraim. That's something that they all knew cold. Brisos, not so much. Brisos were different collections and different Batei Medrash that were just used to expound upon the Mishnah, but the Mishnayis became the text that everybody knew. That's what the Rambam writes in his Hakdamah to the Pirush of Mishnayis, in Igeres Rav Shirgo, and also he says the Amoraim after Rebbe needed the Brises because that's where they were able to, the Mishnayis weren't enough for them anymore. The Mishnayis were somewhat limited in terms of how much they can get out of the Mishnayis, and the Brises expounded on the Mishnayis. So Rav Chista was afraid or shook from the learning of Rav Sheshes because they needed all the brises with all the details that Rav Sheshes was able to provide. And then Rav Sheshes, of course, needed Rav Chista's ability to be mefalpel, to be medamed davar ledavar. So there's an interesting discussion. Rav Menashe Klein in the Tshuvas Mishnah Alachos in Chelek Yud Simin Chaf explains this sugya based on the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Mem Zayin. The Gemara Brachos Daf Mem Zayin talks about combining 10 people for a minyan. That Rav Huna says if you have Tisha, if you have 9 Jews and the Aron, that's mitzaref. So Rav Nachman says what? V'chi Aron Adam Hu? Is the Aron a person that it could be mitzaref? So Rav Huna says no. Tishma Nirim Kasar Mitzaref. If you have 9 people but it looks like 10, then it's mitzaref. Rabbi Ami says if you have Shnayim and Shabbos, you're mitzaref lezimun. 2 people, and it happens to be Shabbos. Shabbos could be the third party in the Zimun. So Rav Nachman asked that. Well, Vachi Shabbos Adamu? Is Shabbos a person? He can be mitzaref to a Zimun? So Rav Ami said, no, Shnei Tamid Chama Mechadadim Ze Ezeb Ha'alacha Mitzarefim. What it means to say is that when 2 Tamid Chama are talking and learning, that's what's mitzaref to Zimun. So he said, and Rav Chista says, yeah, Kagon Ani V'Rav Sheshes. And Rav Sheshes said, no, Kagon Ani V'Rav Chista. So the whole Gemara is a little bit difficult to understand. The Tzlach points out, first of all, why didn't Rav Nachman ask on that last point that v'chi chidud halacha adamu? We ask is the Aron an Adam? How could the Aron be mitzarif? How could Shabbos be mitzarif? Why don't we ask about how could learning be mitzarif? Is the halacha an Adam? And Tosa Rush writes b'pshitos that yeah, the halacha is the third counts as a third. But why? What's the pshat? So Rav Menashe Klein suggests what the Gemara means to say is that we're mitzarif the malach that are created al yedei the Talmud Torah. It's Erev Shavuos. We'll talk a little about Talmud Torah. That Talmid Chacham that are mechadid zel zeh ba'alacha create malachim, and those malachim are mitzarif to zimun and to a minyan, and that's why Rav Nachman doesn't have to ask v'chi alacha adam hu. We're mitzarif the malachim that are created, and that's where Rav Chista says kigon ani v'Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says kigon ani v'Rav Chista. What are they arguing about? So it's yadua. Rav Sheshes, and it's clear in our Gemara. Rav Sheshes was a Sinai. He was a Baki in Mishnayis and Brisos. Rav Chista was an Oker Harim. So Rav Sheshes. what they were arguing about was exactly that issue: which element of expertise is a more important area of expertise. Rav Chista held that the Iker Chidud is al yidei pilpul, and it's by being mechadish halachos that's what creates malachim chadashim, and that's what he says. Kigon ani, and Rav Sheshes also will also be mitzaref, but the Iker is my expertise in halacha. But Bekiyus also helps. Bekiyus also will create chidushim, but those chidushim aren't quite the same as the chidushim that you can create by being Oker Harim. So he's makdim himself to Rav Sheshes to say that the Iker malachim are from him. Rav Sheshes held the opposite. He held that learning brises and mishnayos is better. So for him, the Iker chidud halacha is to be able to bring the mishnayos and brises and be miyashiv them with each other, and that's what creates the malachim. So he says, kigon ani. Oh yeah, and by the way, Rav Chista also, he also creates malachim. So Rav Yezev Engel in Gilyone Ashas in Yevamos Daf Samach Gimel explains based on this idea, the Maimer of Ben Azai. Ben Azai says, the Gemara says that anyone who's not Osik Pepru Ravu, it's Kilui Shofich Damim. So Ben Azai says, Ben Azai says that. So the Gemara says that the Chacham said to Ben Azai, Ata no Doresh Vein no Mekayim. Very nice. You said that, but you're not doing it. You don't get married. So he himself never got married. So Ben Azai said, you're right, but Ma'asa Shenafshi Chashka B'Torah. So what kind of excuse? The guy's going to say, I'm not going to eat matzah because Ma'asa Shenafshi Chashka B'Torah. I want to sit and learn. So I'm not going to eat matzah. He can't be Vatal Mitzvah just because Nafshi Chashka B'Torah. So Rav Yosef Engel writes in Galion Yashas, he was Mekayim with his Limud Torah is something very similar to the Mitzvah of Pur Ravu and the Mitzvah of Leshevet Yitzhar, because the halachos that was in his Chadesh through his Limud Torah were like banim to him. They were like additional people that he brought into this world because of the malachim that he was able to create. Just like we see in this Gemara Brachos, Tamid Chamer Mechadid Zel Azeh Ba'alacha, it's Chashuvim Kishlosha. It counts as a Zeman. It counts as an extra person. So if it counts as an extra person, maybe it's a partial kiyum of the Mitzvah of Pur Ravu. So anyway, all of that is by way of introduction to the two questions that Rav Chista asked Rav Sheshes. And the questions happen to be about Erevin. So question number one, Shnei Batim Yishnei Tzidei Rishos Rabim. If there are two houses on two sides of the Rishos Rabim, so there are two Rishos Hayachas, two houses, and Rishos Rabim runs in between them. So if you're standing in between the houses, you're surrounded by two walls, the wall of one house and the wall of the other house across the street, but on the other two sides, you're wide open. And then, Ubo Nachrim V'Kifo Mechitza B'Shabbos. Goyim came and they built the other two walls on Shabbos. They built another two walls that run across the street so that you could be standing between the houses and now you're surrounded by four walls. So Mahu, what's the din? So what do you mean, what's the din? Says Rashi, Sheyevatel Zer Rishus Olezek. And the guy in one house, Vimevatel's Rishus, to the guy in the other house, Vimevatel Lahotzim Beis Olekan, and he'll be able to carry out of his house. Ta'kaimelon Pirka Tinyana, Kol Mechitzos Hanasos B'Shabbos Be'im Shog Be'im Mezid, Shema Mechitzah, V'Kolshkin Hacha, Denachrim Avdua. Any Mechitzos made on Shabbos, even by a Jew, are considered a Mechitzah. Over here, Goyim made it, so it's even better. It should for sure be a Mechitzah. Let one of them be mivatal rishus to the other, and go to let him carry. So says Gemara, Aliba demandi Amar in bitul rishus mechatzer lechatzer lo tibaylach. If you hold that you're not allowed to be mivatal rishus from one chatzer to another chatzer, there's no shaila. Hashtu di boila ruve meatmal matzuma arvi amrit ein bitul rishus mechatzer lechatzer. When you have two chatzeros that have a pesach in between them, if they wanted to make an erev erev Shabbos, they could have made an erev erev Shabbos, and still we're not going to let. They're not connected enough for us to allow Bittul Rishus on Shabbos. So Hachadi Bala Ruvi Meatma Lomatsu Marvi Lokolshkate. So in our case it's even worse. They're less connected, because even if they would have wanted to make an Erev on Erev Shabbos, they could not have made an Erev on Erev Shabbos. So certainly they cannot be Mevatal Rishus. So that would not be a Shaila at all. The whole shaila is, if you assume like the shita that there is bittul rishus from one chatzer to another chatzer, so then should we say it's the same over here that there should be bittul rishus? Hasam di baula ruvim meatul matzim avri betuli nami matzim mivatel aval hachad lo matzim avri meatul betuli nami lo matzim mivtol adil maloshna. Should we assume that yeah, the reason you could be mivatul rishus mechatzer lechatzer is because at least on erev Shabbos, had they wanted, they could have have joined together in an Eruv. But over here it's worse. Over here, if they would have wanted on Erev Shabbos, they could not have joined together in Eruv, and therefore we should not allow Bittul Rishos. Or maybe not. Maybe it just doesn't make a difference. Maybe we could allow Bittul Rishos Michatzel L'Chatzer. So in Rashi's understanding of this Gemara, it seems that according to Shmuel, that there's no Bittul Rishos Michatzel L'Chatzer, and we explained that the reason is because of Makom that we explained in yesterday's daf, that any place that's not Oser Ze El Ze is not Mevatlim Ze La Ze, even though they could have made an Eruv together. So basically what Shmuel holds is that in order to be able to be Mevatl Rishos from one place to another, you need two things. You need the two people to Aser on each other, that in some way they restrict each other, and you also need the ability to make an Eruv with each other. So then Kolshkin over here, you certainly can't be Mevatl Rishos, because over here also they don't Aser on each other, because on Erev Shabbos they never Aser on each other. They had nothing to do with each other. They were on two different sides of a Rishos Rabbim. And they also couldn't make an Erev. You had neither of the requirements for Bittul Rishos. The whole tzad to be Mesupak over here is only Lefi Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that we are Mevatel Mechatzer L'Chatzer. So why does he hold you Mevatel Mechatzer L'Chatzer? Because all you need to do Bittul Rishos is the ability to be Ma'ariv, in order to be Ma'ariv with each other. So maybe we could say that Rabbi Yochanan be Moda, that you need at least to be able to be Ma'ariv, so this case would be no good. Or no, maybe Osum Zalza O Ma'arvim Ze'elze, maybe you only need one or the other. And over here, they're not Osrim Ze'elze, and they're also not Ma'ariv Ze'elze. They can't be Ma'ariv Ze'im Ze'. Because in Erev Shabbos, they didn't ask for each other, so they could not create the Erev. That's how that's the essence of the Gemara's question. That according to Shmuel, we certainly don't have both requirements. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we don't have the fact that they were Osrim Ze'elze, but we do have, but also they were not Ma'ariv Zem Zev. So does Rabbi Yochanan care? Does Rabbi Yochanan hold one requirement is necessary or not? So the Gaon Yaakov just raises the question: why doesn't the Gemara say that if the guy comes on, that according to that this also relates to the issue of a guy showing up on Shabbos? That according to the Shita, that if the guy comes on Shabbos, we're not Socher Mevatel. So over here also, there should be no suffix that they're able to. There should be no suffix about being Mevatel. The whole suffix should only be if you hold that if a guy comes on Shabbos that you are Socher Mevatel. You could say that only over there we're Socher Mevatel because they're Osir Zalze, even though they couldn't be Ma'ariv, but over here they're Ein Osrim Ve'Ein Mevatlim. So he suggests that maybe you could even be Mesupak Lamandi Yamar that Ein Socher Mevatlim, because only over there the Bittul doesn't work, because you need to do two things. You need to do a Schirus and a Bittul. But over here, all you need is a Bittul. You wouldn't need to do both a Schirus and a Bittul. So maybe even the Shita that would hold that it doesn't work when the guy shows up on Shabbos would hold it does work in this case. Okay, that was Shaila number one that was asked when these two great Gedolim met up with each other. Shaila number two, Meis Nachri B'Shabbos Mahu. What if the guy dies on Shabbos? So what's the din? What does it mean? What's the din? Says Rashi, Hanami by Mine, Shnei Yisrael v'nachri adarim b'chatzer, v'lo sachru v'lo irvu, u'meis nachri b'shabbos, ma'al vatel zel lezeh. You have two Jews live with a guy in the same chatzer. They didn't do a schiris trus, they didn't do an eruv, and then the guy died. So now you're left with only two Jews living in the chatzer. Can they do Bittul Rishos? Because now the Nachri is no longer assering the Chatzer for them. So can they just do Bittul Rishos from one to the other? So, Aliba demand Yomar Sochin Loti Bayilach, Hashetarti Avdinan Chadim Yibayil. Like we just pointed out from the Gaon Yaakov, he was foreshadowing this Gemara that if you say that when the guy shows up on Shabbos, you're allowed to be Socher Rishos, so certainly you're allowed to be Mevatel Rishos, because the only way it works to be Socher Rishos is if everyone is first Mevatel. So, Liba demand Yomar that you're socher rishos on Shabbos. Certainly, if you're allowed to be socher and mevatel, you could be just mevatel rishos. That would for sure work. Elakiti bayilach. When is the who's the shaila according to? Aliba demand Yomar ain sochrin. If you hold that when a guy shows up on Shabbos, we cannot be socher rishos. Do we assume, yeah, you can't do two things, but one thing you could have done? Or do we assume that, no, it doesn't make a difference, you can't be Mevatel Rishos on Shabbos? Amrlei, ani amr mevatlin, vamnuna amr ein mevatlin. So his response was Rav Sheshes' response was that I happen to hold that you are allowed to be mevatel rishus, but full disclosure, Rav Amnuna disagrees. Rav Amnuna holds ein mevatel, and you can't be mevatel rishus in that situation. Good. So those were the two shailas that Rav Chista asked of Rav Sheshes. Amr Avidam Shmuel, Nachri Sheyesh lo Pesach Arba'a al Arba'a. Pasuach lebikas. So now we move on to a discussion of, we've been talking about a guy asering our ability to use the mavoy and the chatzar, because when the guy lives there, what if the guy has a separate entrance that doesn't go out into our common area? He has an entrance that goes out into our common area also, but he has a separate private entrance that goes out into somewhere else. Will the guy still aser? So I'm reviewed on Shmuel. Nachri shishol pesach arba'al arba'a. If he has a 4x4 tefach pesach, that's pasuach lebika, that opens up into an empty field. Afilu machnes umotzi gmal mavoy, even if he uses often the doorway that goes into the mavoy, into our common area, ain oser al b'nei mavoy. He does not create a problem for the b'nei mavoy. He will not aser the usage of the mavoy for the b'nei mavoy. My taima, why not? Because his primary Pesach is always going to be the one that's just for him, the one that's more private, the one that's designated just for him. So even though he happens to use the Pesach that goes into the mavoy a lot, but that's a Pesach that everybody uses, so that's not as much his Pesach, and therefore that's, he's not going to Aser anymore. The Prisha says that look at the examples we gave. What does he carry all day long? He's carrying Gemalim Ukronos. These are very large things. Camels and wagons. So the Prisha says, Dafka Kelim Gedolim, Derech HaPesach in the Mavoy, where the Pesach of the Bika, we said, was very small. It was 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. So he would only use the Pesach in the Mavoy for things that he couldn't fit through his small private Pesach. So that's the Lashon of the Gemara. That's Meduyik. That's Dafka Gemalim Ukronos. But if Kelim Ketanim, if he would even use the Pesach of the Mavoy for small things, then it's considered that then it would be considered that he's still a member of the Mavoy and that he would still ask from the Mavoy. He's only showing that he's being misalik himself from the Mavoy by never using the entrance of the Mavoy other than things that he has no choice but to use the entrance of the Mavoy. So that's how the Prisha understands. Almost the exact opposite, the Maimon Mordechai explains pretty much the exact opposite, that the Chiddush of the Gemara is that even though he's using the Pesach of the Mavoy all day long for very large things, that he could not have used the Pesach of his private Pesach for, so there's room to say that he's never misalik himself from the Mavoy, because look how badly he needs the Mavoy. He needs this Pesach of the Mavoy. Had it been that he just takes Kelim Ketanim through the Pesach of the Mavoy, okay, so he still could have used his own private Pesach for that. He doesn't really need the Pesach of the Mavoy. Pesach in the Mavoy is not that important for him. But look, he's taking all day long these giant things that don't fit through his Arba'a al Arba'a Pesach. So don't you see that that's a statement of how badly he needs the Pesach of the Mavoy, and therefore he should be considered a Ben Mavoy, and he should ask on everybody? Afal Pi Kain, the Gemara says, that no, his Iker Pesach is the one that's designated for himself privately. That's how the Maimon Mordechai understands the exact opposite of the way the Prisha understands. And Nishmas Adam, Klal Ayin Hei, writes that from all the poskim, the fact that they don't give too many details, it sounds like that even if he always uses the Pesach of the Mavoy and he never uses the Pesach of the Bika, still he doesn't aser, because Pesach Pesuach LeBika, having his own private Pesach is all you really need, so it's a completely Kula, not like the Chumra of the Prisha, that it's Dafka when he's taking only things that don't fit in the Pesach of the Bika through the Mavoy. So Yibayiluhu, Pasuach leKarpif Mahu. So we discussed when he has his own separate entrance that goes out into a Bika. What if it goes out into a Karpif? It goes out into an area that's enclosed by walls. So what's the din then? Amr of Nachum Barami Mishmei de Ulpana. So Nachum Barami says in the name of Ulpana, Afil Pasuach leKarpif. Even if it's Pasuach leKarpif, It would still be the same din that he prefers that private doorway, even though it goes out only into a karpef, and that's his primary doorway, and the doorway to the mavoi doesn't count, and therefore he doesn't asr on anybody. So Rabbi Rav Yosef note that in this halacha, when someone has a private doorway, whether that private doorway is misalik themselves from the mavoi or it's not misalik them from the mavoi, will depend on the size of the area, the karpef that the private doorway leads to, and will depend on whether the person is a Jew or non-Jew. Meaning the size will have an opposite effect whether the person is a Jew or a non-Jew, and we'll explain in a second. Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tarvayim, Nachri Beis HaSayim Oser, Yosef Mi Beis HaSayim Eino Oser. The guy is only gonna, only if he has a doorway that leads to an area that's a Beis HaSayim or less, is he still considered a member of the Mavoi and will he Aser on the Bnei Mavoi. But if it leads out to a Karpef that's more than Beis HaSayim, then that's considered his primary doorway. And therefore he's not going to Aser on the Bnei Mavoi anymore. The Yisrael, Beis HaSayim Eino Oser, Yosrim Beis HaSayim Oser. But by a Jew, it's the opposite. That by a Jew, if it leads out into an area that's less than a Beis HaSayim, so that will create that will not create any Iser, that will be his primary doorway, but it leads out into an area that's more than Beis HaSayim, then it will Aser. So why? What's the Svara? Because if a non-Jew's home opens to a karpef that's two Beisa or smaller, since the non-Jew will not use such a small karpef very much, meaning what's he going to do with such a small area? He doesn't think that it's so useful, so his presence in the mavoi is still a significant presence. That's really going to be his primary doorway. And the presence in the mavoi is the mavoi's doorway is his primary doorway, and therefore he restricts people in the mavoi. But the Jew, on the other hand, is the exact opposite. If a Jew's home opens to the karpef if it's two beis or less, the Jew who didn't join in the Erev is not going to restrict the other neighbor's usage of the mavoi, because the Jew doesn't carry big things out on Shabbos anyway. If the karpef were bigger than two beis, he would restrict because he can't carry out in such a large karpef on Shabbos. It's awesome for him to carry in such a large karpef on Shabbos. So then obviously his primary doorway is going to remain the mavoi doorway. But if it's a very small karpef, so then he's allowed to go out there. The primary doorway will be the karpef doorway. That's the understanding of this difference between the Jew and the non-Jew. Now the Rashba writes in the name of the Ravid that this whole chilik between a karpef beis hasayim, a karpef yosef beis hasayim, and whether it belongs to a Jew, belongs to a guy, who we're talking about over here, is only when the opening that we're talking about is arba al arba. Remember, that's how we started the whole conversation. We said the guy has a doorway that's arba al arba, that's 4x4 tfachim, where you can't really take that, it's usable, but barely. It's very difficult to use such a tiny doorway. But, says the Ravid, if the Pesach is a Pesach Gadol, then it's never going to Aser on the Mavoi, no matter what. Even if the guy has an opening into an area that's less than Beis HaSayim, or the Jew into an area that's more than Beis HaSayim, once the Pesach is a Pesach Gadol, it's a chash of a doorway that's easy to use, then that person will never Aser on the Mavoi. No difference if it opens to a Bika, a Karpef, how big the Karpef is, who it is, a Jew or a guy, no difference. It's all going to be Mutter. The Ravid Rashba himself disagrees with the Ravid. He says the Gemara, if that were true, the Gemara should have mentioned that. The Gemara just starts out by saying a Pesach is arba al arba. It's defining how the minimum shear of a Pesach. It's not telling me that if the Pesach were bigger, all of these halachos fall away. So it says Pesach arba al arba. It's telling me that any Pesach smaller than al arba certainly doesn't count as a Pesach. But something that's larger would have the same din. It's not like where you have two chatzeros that open into each other and open into Rosh Hashanah, where over there the drisa saregel of one chatzer, of the people in one chatzer, where there is no drisa regel, people in one chatzer on the other chatzer. I mean, to get out to the Rosh Hashanah, they don't need to walk through each other's chatzer, but if there were drisa saregel from one chatzer to the other chatzer, even though they each happen to have their own doorway, they would not aser on each other. other. So it's different in our case. That's the Rashba disagreeing with the Ravid. Okay, that's a fundamental machlokas, just in terms of the size of the doorway that we're discussing. Just one more point. The Meiri just points out that a guy that has two Pesachim into two separate Mavuos, that the Gemara doesn't discuss. What if he doesn't have a Pesach that leads out into his own private Karpev, his own private Bika? He has two doorways that lead into two separate Mavuos. So if Jews live in both Mavuos, so we look at whichever Pesach he uses more. But if one of them has more Gayim and the other one has more Jews, so then we always view him as wanting to belong more to the non-Jewish neighborhood, and that's his primary Pesach, and he won't aser on the people in the other Mavuos. That's Miri's Chiddush La'alacha. Boimine, back in the Gemara. Boimine Rava Bar Chaklai Me Rav Huna. Pasuach Lekarpef Mahu. So what's the din if we're going back on the guy and Rav Yehuda's statement? So if it's opened up into a Karpef, what's the din? So Amalei, Harei Amru, Beis HaSayim Elser, Yosem Beis HaSayim Ein Elser. What we just said, it depends. If the guy is opened up and has a doorway, opened up into a Karpef that's Beis HaSayim or less, so then he asks on the B'nai Mavu. If it's more than a Beis HaSayim, he doesn't ask on the B'nai Mavu. Period. That's the end of that discussion. Amru Lam Rabbi Yochanan. So Ullah says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Karpef Yosem Beis HaSayim Shlohuk of Ladira, Vafilu Kur, Vafilu Kurayim, Hazorik Latoch L'chayif. If you have a Karpef that's very large and it's not Hukaf Ladira, it's surrounded by Mechitzos, but not for the sake of living within those Mechitzos, even if it's enormous, it's a Kura Kurayim, someone who throws from a Rosh HaSarabim into those Mechitzos is Chayiv Kabar Chatas, because even though that area is not viewed as a Rosh HaSiyach, it can be viewed as a Karmelis, but that's Midrabanan on a Daraisa level, it's certainly a Rosh HaSiyach. Even if it's very big, Tosos and Dafchav Beis and Beis had said that Huadin if it's Elef Korim, it doesn't make a difference. Not just Kor Korayim, it could be gigantic. It could be extremely large. Tosos raises the question: how shouldn't all of Eretz Yisrael, based on the mountains that surround it, be considered Mukaf Mechitzos and be considered one big Rishos Hayachid? So Tosos says that maybe there's a chilik between Mechitzos that are made Bidei Adam and Mechitzos that are made Bidei Shamayim in that context. The Ritva over there in Daf Chaf Beis said in the name of the Ramban that even though Korah Korayim is a Rosh HaSiyachim in the Torah, there is a shear to how big a hekif of Mechitzos can be that could still be considered a Rosh HaSiyachim. He says that shear is you have to at least see yourself when you're inside those Mechitzos that ki'ilu you're surrounded by Mechitzos. If it doesn't even feel like you're surrounded by Mechitzos because they're so far apart from each other, like being in Eretz Yisrael where you happen to have mountains around you but it doesn't feel like a sense of being surrounded by mechitzos, then even if the mechitzos were bidei adam, even if the mechitzos were man-made mechitzos, like let's say you're in Manhattan and they built up the walls to block the water, so that's man-made mechitzos that they built up, but you don't feel like you're surrounded by mechitzos, so that would not be a Rosh HaSiyachid on a daraisa level. Okay, so anyway, so we said over here that if it, no matter how large the enclosure is, it's still Rosh HaSiyachid on a daraisa level. The question we're going to deal with is the following. So my time, so Masav Rav Huna Bar Chinna, meaning it is a mechitza, it's just that there's no one that lives there. That's why it's a karmelis on a derabbanan level. But it is still Rosh HaSiyachid on a daraisa level. So Masav Rav Huna Bar Chinna, Sela Shabiyam Gavoa Asara V'Rocha V'Arba'a, Ein Metalton Lo Mentocho Liyam V'Lo Menayam L'Tocho. We're going to ask from a brisa. The brisa is going to have three statements, and the third statement is going to be the ikar that we're going to ask from. If let's say you have a rock in the ocean, and the rock is 10 tefachim tall and 4 by 4 tefachim wide, so you're not allowed to carry from it into the rock to the yam, nor from the yam to the rock. Why? What's the problem? Because the rock itself is a Rosh HaSiyachid. What's the yam? The yam is a karmelis. So you're not allowed to carry from a karmelis to Rosh HaSiyachid, Rosh HaSiyachid to a karmelis. Simple enough. What if it's pachlis mikan? The rock is less than 10 tefachim high. So then mitaltel, and then you're allowed to. Why? Because if it's less than 10 tefachim high, the rock itself is a karmelis. So then you're carrying from one karmelis into another karmelis. That's what it sounds like, that it's one karmelis to another karmelis. It sounds like that's the chiddush of the brisa in this second line over here, that if it's less than 10 tefachim high, you're allowed to carry from the rock to the ocean, apparently because there's no issur to be motzi from one karmelis to another, which is interesting, because the halach is you're not allowed to be metaltel dalet amos within a karmelis, but going from one karmelis to another apparently is not a problem. That's what the Shulchan Aruch passed in the Simchat Shin Mem Vav, Sif Beis, that it's mutzu lahotzi mikarmelis to karmelis. Carmelis, like Mayim Lebika, Bika Liyam, is all Miyam Lebika rather, and Bika Liyam is all Mutter. The Bach and the Gras say that where does the Shulchan Aruch get that? It's our Gemara, it's Mefurish in our Gemara. It's the Yerushalmi doesn't seem to assume that way. The Yerushalmi says, Shtei Carmelios has Smucha Zulu Metaltam Yizulu Zu. What? You think you'd be Metaltam from two Carmelios that are near each other? So the Gemara says, the Yerushalmi says, Amr B'chananya Bere de Rabbi Hillel, Shasela Shabiyam Shayam Akifa Mekol Tzad, that when you have a rock in the ocean where the ocean surrounds it, it's not considered a separate Carmelis. The rock is not considered a separate Rishos. It's Carmelis Achas. It's surrounded entirely by ocean. It's in the ocean. So that's all called one Carmelis. But in a chinami, to be metalto from one Carmelis to another, the Yerushalmi holds is also. But again, we pass the Nechtam Bavli. So Ad Kama, how big is this rock that we're talking about? Now notice it doesn't say which rock. The 10 Tefachai rock that we spoke about in the first line, or the less than 10 Tefachai rock we spoke about in the second line. But Ad Beis Hasayim, it's up until the Beis Hasayim, this halacha will be true. So Aheya, which halacha will be true? Ile Ma Seifa, if you're telling me that you're talking about the less than 10 Tefachai rock, where you're allowed to carry from it into the Yam, that it's up until Beis Hasayim, it's only up until Beis Hasayim, Tfei Lo, Vami Karmelis, the Karmelis, why, if it's larger than a Beis Hasayim, should it be a problem? It's still just carrying from a Carmelis to a Carmelis, and that's mutter. Elava Resha, must be that we're talking about the first case of the Braisa, where the first case of the Braisa was, it was more than 10 Tefachim, why it was a Rosh Hashayachid? And we say, when is it a Rosh Hashayachid? Only if it's the Beis Hasayim or less. But once it's more than a Beis Hasayim, then you're allowed to carry from that rock into the ocean, and we're not worried. Apparently it loses its status of Rosh Hashayachid. V'achikamer, Sel Shabiyam Gavasar, it's only up until a Beis Hasayim, a Yasin Beis Hasayim Metaltlin. But if it's more than a Beis Hasayim, even though it's 10 Tefachim high, and it looks like a Rosh Hashayachid, no, it's too big to be a Rosh Hashayachid. I don't care that it has Mechitzel Sarai, too big to be a Rosh Hashayachid. Alma Carmelisi, so we see that it's a Carmelist. Tiyoftan Rabbi Yochanan, there's a Tiyoftan Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan was one that said, Afilu Kor, Afilu Karayim, it doesn't make a difference. A Karfif more than a Beis Hasayim that's Nanuka Fladira is always going to be a Rosh Hashayachid on a Dor Raisa level. We're saying, no, it's not a Rosh Hashayachid. You're allowed to carry from there into the ocean. So Gemara has two answers. Ridiculous. How can someone who doesn't know how to read a Braisa straight ask a Kasha from a Braisa on Rabbi Yochanan? No, the Braisa was clearly, when it talks about Yosim Beis Hasayim, we're talking about the first case that the Braisa spoke about where it's more than 10 Tefachim high. V'achli Kamar. Habitocho metaltalin v'ad kama ad beis hasayim. The Braisa never meant to say that if it's more than beis that if it's more than beis hasayim, you're allowed to carry from it and to the ocean. We're talking about carrying within the rock itself, on the rock itself. So yeah, when it's more than beis hasayim, you're not allowed to carry on the rock. Why? Because midrabbanan, it has a din of a Carmelis. When it's less than beis hasayim, it's a full fledged Rosh Hashanah. You can carry as much as you want on the rock. That's one answer. Second answer, Avashi Amar, Liolam HaReisha. Really, it's going on the Reisha, like we said. Heinamru veHeinamru. And you have to realize there are competing dinim derabanan over here. The din derabanan of a Carmelis involves two things. It involves not carrying Dalet Amos within the Carmelis, and it involves not carrying from a Carmelis to Rosh Hashayach, from a Carmelis to Rosh Hashanah, etc. So, Heinamru veHeinamru. Heinamru karfiv yosim besayim shloka vladira imetaltim ba'el Dalet Amos. The Rabbanan made the din that if it's more than Beis Hasayim, you can only carry up until Dalet Amos. Veheinam rein metaltal Rosh Hashayachid the Carmelis. They also made the din that you can't be metaltal from Rosh Hashayachid to a Carmelis. So Beis Hasayim d'sharile tutul bekulei, when it's a Beis Hasayim or less, where you're allowed to carry throughout the rock because it's a full-fledged Rosh Hashayachid, asi Rabbanan l'tutulei lo minayam l'tocho v'lo mitocho liyam. So the Rabbanan will still maintain the other din Rabbanan, that you're not allowed to carry from it into the Yam or from the Yam to it, because the Yam is a Carmelis, the rock is a Rosh Hashayachid. My time, Rosh Hashayachid Gemuri, because then it's just a regular Rosh Hashayachid, the rock. But yes, in Beis Hasayim, once the rock is bigger than a Beis Hasayim, it's also the Taltal Bekulei, where now there's another Din Rabbanan that kicks in, that you're not allowed to even carry on the rock for more than four Amos. The Rabbanan waive the other Isser. They allow you now to carry from it into the ocean, from the ocean into it. Why? My time at Dilma Amri Rishos Yachid Gemuruhu Vasil Tutul Bekulei. Because the Rabbanim were afraid that if they're makbid on that other din to Rabbanim, that then they don't allow you to carry from it into the ocean, from the ocean to it, people are going to think it's a full fledged Rishos Yachid, and they're not going to observe the other din to Rabbanim that you're not allowed to carry more than 4 amos on the rock itself. So they'd rather protect the din de Rabbanan of not carrying more than 4 amos on the rock itself than to protect the din de Rabbanan of carrying from Rosh Hashanah to a Carmelis. Umayishna, why? Why would they rather protect that? Because tochol shchiach, mitochol yam, minayam tochol lo shchiach. Because it's much more common to carry within it than it is to carry from it to somewhere else. So that's why they were so much more protective. Okay, let's begin the sugya of Ahu Yanuka. A lot to say on the sugya. Ahu Yanuka d'shtapach hamime. There was a baby whose hot water spilled out. So Amar Lahu Rabba, nice le chamimi migo beisai. So Rabba said, we'll bring water from inside the house. Amar le Abaye v'lo arvinan. Abaye says, how can we bring water from inside the house? We didn't make an eruv. So again, the hot water is needed for the baby for health reasons, getting his bris mila. There's machlokes rishonim exactly which hot water we're talking about, when exactly this happened. Is this after you already did the mila, then the water spilled out? Or is this before you did the mila, the water spilled out, and you want to get the water so that you can do the mila? So Abaye says, but we didn't make an eruv. Amalei nismo chashitov. Okay, well, we always have a shitovim of us. You can rely on that. Amalei halo shatvinan. We didn't do a shitov either. So namele l'nachri leisilei. Okay, so get a guy and let the guy bring it. Amar Abaye, boy loose filamar v'lo shafkan Rav Yosef. Damar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Kanaki, Avin be Rav Yuda, Ava Amar lan b'dar Raisa musvin to Yufta, Vav Avdin Maisa, b'dar Rabban Avdin Maisa, Vav musvin to Yufta. So Abaye says, you know, we really wanted to ask Akasha right there on what Rav Yosef was saying. Was it Rav Yosef on what Rabba was saying? We wanted to ask Akasha right away, but we remembered that what Rav Yosef Amar Rav said, that Rav Yosef or Rav Yosef what Rav Yosef taught us, that Rav Yosef taught us that whenever you're dealing with a din de Rabbanan and you see someone is about to do something that looks to you might be a violation of a din de Rabbanan, so let him do what he does and then ask kashas on what his cheshbon was. But when it's a din de Raisa, you ask the kashas first, you don't let him do what he does. So since over here we're only dealing with a din de Rabbanan because it was Amir La'akum, so we let him do what he did, and then afterwards we'll ask the kashas. So the basar achi armale, my basar l'usreimar, so afterwards said, okay, nu, so what was your tiyufta, what was your kasha that you were going to ask? Amrulei said, "Titania hazah ashvus. The sprinkling of the ashes of the paraduma is a shvus. Is nisud rabbanan. V'amira l'nachri shvus. Amira l'akum is also a shvus. So ma hazah ashvus ve'ina dochas haShabbos. Af amira l'nachri shvus ve'ina dochas haShabbos. Well, we know that the shvus of hazah, even for the sake of a great mitzvah, let's say you need to be matar a person to shecht the karm Pesach, still we don't do it. A shvus is not dochas haShabbos." Even for the sake of a mitzvah. So why are you willing to do Amir La'akum, which is also a shvus, for the sake of the mitzvah of Mila? That was our kasha. So Amalei, he says, no, v'lo shani lach ben shvus dis be'maisa, l'shvus to les be'maisa, da'amar lo amar l'nachri, zi'lachim. There's a big difference between a shvus that has a maisa and a shvus that doesn't have a maisa. The two shvusim can't be compared to each other. The shvus of Hazah is an active shvus. You're active, we only allow Amir La'akum when the act you ask the non-Jew to do is itself only an Issur D'Rabbanan. You're not even telling him, go and heat up the water, go and do an Issur D'Oraisa. So what we're saying, it's not so much active and passive. The Lashon is a little misleading. What we're really saying is, it's a Shvus T'Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah. You're asking him to do what itself is only an Issur D'Rabbanan, because you're talking about carrying within a Mavoi. So Midaraisa, it's Mutter anyway. A Shvus T'Shvus is Mutter. So a number of things over here. First of all, we said, B'D'Rabbanan Avdin and Maisa, and then we're Mosef T'Yufta. There is a very famous Nesivus in Reish Lamed Daled where the Nesivus proves from here that an Issur D'Rabbanan that's violated B'Shogeg, there's no Onesh. So that's why you don't have to stop a guy. You see a guy about to do an Issur D'Rabbanan, what you think is an Issur D'Rabbanan, you don't have to ask him any kashas. Let him do it, because he's only doing it B'Shogeg anyway. There's no Onesh for violating Issur D'Rabbanan B'Shogeg. So the Achronim point out that this is directly against the Radvaz. Radvaz writes in the Tshuva that if the Baal HaMaisa himself is not sure about the din, he should not do the Maisa until he knows the din, when it's something that's nogeya to an Issur D'Rabbanan. Because even though we say Savit D'Rabbanan Kula, that's only when you see somebody who has a cheshbin, and he has an idea of what he wants to do, so you just don't understand that cheshbin, That's when we say that you let him do his maisa. But if you see someone is talking about to make a mistake, Shmuel Deshen writes this way: you see someone is about to, a Talmud sees his Rebbe is about to eat something that you know is asur midrabanan. So you're not allowed to say, "Oh, it's okay, it's only asur midrabanan. Let him eat it; it's a shogeg." No, it's not that we don't care that it's only asur midrabanan, therefore it's a shogeg. That's not the issue. The issue is that that he has a cheshbin, and you may not understand this cheshbin. Like in our Gemara, there was an answer. The Rebbe had a cheshbin, you just didn't know what the cheshbin was. So that's one point. Second point over here, more important to this sugya, the Balamar and the Rashba both explain that what's the case of the water spilling out over here? That it spills, the water that they had prepared for washing the tinok after the mila had spilled out, but it spilled out before they did the bris mila. So he says, so what you see from here is that you can't do a bris mila without hot water. And what you cannot do is say, you know what, let's do the bris mila. Then after we do the bris mila, the baby will be a chol shiyesh b'sakana. And once the baby is a chol shiyesh b'sakana, good, so that will be allowed to heat up water. No, you're not allowed to do that. A person is not allowed to create a situation of a sakana s'nefashos so that they could then be mechal shabbos. You would not be allowed to do the mitzvah, you would not be allowed to do the mila. It's only the yisid rabbanon that we allow doing in this case of mir lachum shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. The Ramban, however, says that if they bathe the baby before the mila and then the water spills out that they prepared for after the mila, you're allowed to mal the baby, and that's not called dechil the tzoruch machshirim, because after they mal, it's sakonis nefashos, that's docha Shabbos. The whole issue over here is when it's only for machshirei mila that you're trying to set it up. That wouldn't be called for machshirei mila. That would already be a situation of sakonis nefashos. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up on this. There's a lot more to say over here.